Thank you, Steve. All right, Al. I don't think we have any visitors this morning, but I'm going to say all this anyway, just in case I'm not perceiving something. If you're a visitor here with us this morning, we're thrilled to have you. And if you would, if you'd look in an envelope in the chair in front of you, there should be a pouch, and in it is a form and a pen. If you'd fill that out, put that in the basket on the right-hand side of the door on the way out this morning. Let us know who you are. Let us know a little about yourself, and we can kind of get to know each other and make sure you know you're welcome to come back and see us again. So, thank you. Terry.
Well, if we don't have any visitors, in the spirit of our day and age, we will all identify as visitors. Pastor Mike's not going to be here this morning. He had an automobile accident yesterday. It is nothing. He is not injured in any way. They were a little shaken up. Their car was totaled, which is not much for a transfer. The GM, so we're not worrying too much about that. He needs prayers so that we can move him into a Toyota, okay? So prayer for God to reach down and give him the superior knowledge of God that Toyotas are much better than the other stuff out here. That being said, he's okay. They're okay. Pray for their quick recovery and come back to us next week. We're going to be graced by Wesley this morning. He got told last night that guess what? We're going to tap you on the shoulder. Get ready. And so he spent all last night up studying. As you can see the crease lines and the draw lines where he looks old, but it's not old. It's just lack of sleep. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much for this day you give us. We thank you so very much for the place you give us to come to. We know that without your grace and without your working in our lives and in this country, that we would not have this place for you, and you give us everything. Father, we ask that coming into this time that we would duly appreciate all that you have given us, everything from the clothes we wear to the vehicles we drive to the place we have that is nice and warm that we can go and worship you, and not least of all, was the gift of grace through the finished work of the cross. Father, we couldn't even come to you if it wasn't for the finished work of the cross, the price that Jesus paid on that cross for us. He had to die so that we could come to you today. We don't deem to understand it. We don't deem that we are worthy of it, but we know that you did it because you had love for us, and we ask that we would never forget of the price that paid coming into this season. Let us enjoy these times with family and friend. Let us all come together and enjoy these times that you give us. Replenish us and make us stronger in faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm always doing things in reverse. I was supposed to do the announcements, but I didn't. Luckily, there's only three. So we're going to do them now. There's a prayer meeting every Sunday, 9 a.m. It's in this back room over here. It's led by Ray North and Ruth North. And we don't pray enough. We could all probably benefit being in there to praying more. And it's open to anybody. So if you would like to, please join them in there. Women's Bible study, they're taking time off until January 9th. We know that women during this particular time of the year have an expanded role, you know, cooking, cleaning for us men, decorating for us men, doing their job. I can say that because I've been married for nearly 40 years, so I'm good. And she's not here today to hear it. They don't record this. Wednesday night, we will still have our Wednesday night, of course. Prayer and Bible study at 6 p.m. Everyone's welcome at that one. Our reading this morning, if I can get it right, because Wesley gave it to me late, but I think I put a bookmarker into it. Let me know if I'm wrong, Wesley, but we're in Psalm 143, and I'm going to read all the way down through 7, correct? Okay. So everybody turn to Psalm 143. Please read with me, because sometimes my reading is not as accurate as it should be. And then sometimes these words are just weird. So, Psalm 143, a psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness, and enter not into the judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as though that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit.
If you're a little bit loud, Terrell. If you're not still there from scripture reading, I'd ask you to go ahead and turn to Psalm 143 again. Maybe you kept it marked. Maybe you need to turn there. I'll give you a moment. While you do that, Terry already mentioned, I don't know if everyone was here when he made the announcement, but if you look in your bulletin, Mike McFarland was scheduled this morning to be here with us. And I was very much looking forward to his message, and I think y'all were too. But you get the B team this morning. In all seriousness, Terry already mentioned that Mike McFarland, and I believe Nancy as well, called me last night about 7:45 and mentioned to me that they were in a car accident. We have an enemy that is out to attack, steal, destroy the joy of our lives. This is a joyful season, and it should be for everyone. For Mike and Nancy, unfortunately, they had a frightful incident last night. They are okay, shaken, as you can imagine. If they totaled their car, then you understand the severity of the accident. Physically, I asked numerous times during the phone call if they were okay, and he continued to reassure me that they felt fine physically. They were fine. Now, there's nerves and there's adrenaline that happens in those type of instances, so pray for them is what I'm asking from all of you, that you would pray for Mike and Nancy. Shaken and all of that aside, the next day, sometimes injuries can reveal themselves. And so they may be waking up this morning very sore. Several of us have reached out to them this morning, and we haven't received any messages back. So I would assume that they probably turned off their ringers, maybe even turned their phones off completely, knowing that we who love them are going to reach out to them, but they needed rest. There's no telling how late they were out last night. If he called me at 7:45, I'm sure the accident hadn't just happened, but there was still a lot of procedures to go through before they could go home. And so I'm sure they were out very late, and they tired, so I'm sure they slept in this morning. So be patient and wait for responses. They know that we love them. They know that we're reaching out to them, and they will respond in time. In the meantime, during that phone call, it was brief, but he he asked me to cover for him, knowing that it was short notice. He reassured me that God has his own plans. And I'm sure that if he had been here this morning, he probably would have mentioned a beautiful baptism service that we had. A number of people that are here with us this morning were baptized in Canton, and we were all there to enjoy that, to be blessed by that. And I know that those of you who were here, are here this morning, who were baptized, y'all were blessed by that as well. It's a step, a progression of our faith, of revealing our faith publicly to others, that you have faith in Christ, that salvation is yours, that you're confident in that. And we were there to support you, to praise you for taking that step, or not necessarily praise you, that could be taken out of the context, but to find joy with you in that experience. And Mike, of course, led that service. He was in the baptismal with you, and I'm sure that he would have had many comments and encouragements to each one of you this morning about what happened, what took place last night, what it meant to him, and what it possibly should mean to you. I'm going to leave that with him in his more than capable hands, and maybe next week he can revisit those words that he may have had prepared for you this morning. I instead am going to go into Psalm 143. As we were leaving the service last night, as we were preparing to leave, Mike asked me to pray for everyone, to pray for what happened last night. And when I wrap up a service of some kind, whether it's Wednesday night or Sunday afternoon, even today, as I pray at the end of the service, I tend to request safe travels for everyone that's involved. If I were praying after Terry Posey's Sunday school, I would ask for safe travels for those still on their way here. And it's very important to me to do that, because I care about y'all, and I care about Mike and Nancy. And so I covered them in that prayer. And prayer is very important for the life of a Christian. Terry already read Psalm 143, and as you can tell, this is a prayer from David to God. It is a psalm. He made it a song, because that's what the psalms are. But it was a prayer from David's heart to the Lord. Last night, we were covered by the hand of God. Mike and Nancy's car may have had extreme damage, but from what we can tell, prayer was answered, and Mike and Nancy are okay. But to me, that's encouraging, and I hope y'all find encouragement in that too. Thank you. Amen, indeed. So we have a God who is amazing, who does answer prayer, who does hear our prayer. And so let's go ahead and jump in here. Psalm 143, 1 and 2. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. Now, David here is asking, he's asking the Lord to hear him. Do we have any doubt? Do we have any concern that God isn't hearing David's prayer? I don't. I have zero worry that God was not hearing David's prayer. This is David asking or begging the Lord to answer his prayer. Hear it, yes. But God wants to be on the same page, or David wants to be on the same page with God. When we pray in accordance with his will, God answers our prayers. And there may be times when we pray outside of his will, and oftentimes we feel like maybe God didn't hear our prayers or God didn't answer our prayers. But instead, let me say that possibly God said either no or he said wait, because it's either not time or that is outside of my will. So that's something I'm not going to do. But last night, I have complete confidence that God did answer my prayer in protecting everyone, including Mike and Nancy. Now in verse 2, he says, "And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." Can we be justified? Are we perfect enough to feel justified. We can be forgiven. God has forgiven us. But are all of our actions righteous? No. And David is admitting this here before the Lord in his prayer that we are not perfect. We are not sinless. And David understood that. David understood his imperfections. He knew the imperfections not only of himself, but the people around him, the people that he may have cared about. And even the king before him made very, very many public transgressions against the Lord. So David understood imperfections and sin in man's life. And he's not afraid to talk about it. David was a prayer warrior. In fact, many of his psalms are prayers. You can look back into, if you're not much for reading scripture, if you're looking for a place to start, I would encourage you that Psalms is a good place to start. It's easy to read. Each chapter tends to have its own theme. And they're usually not very long either. I mean, you can look at 143 and it's only 12 chapters. 12 verses, not 12 chapters. 12 verses. So you can take a psalm, if you're looking to start your Bible study, as some of you younger ones out there, if you're looking somewhere to start in Scripture, Psalm is a great one to begin with, to cut your teeth on. And then obviously there's a lot of places in the New Testament that I could direct you, but Psalms for me was something that I very early on, even at the age of maybe 9, 8, 9, and 10, I really took to the Psalms. I really enjoyed them. I enjoyed the encouragement that's there. And they're not all encouraging, but the ones that I really drew towards and decided to memorize were Psalms, and very encouraging. One of them that was very, very dear to my heart was Psalm 24. Everybody knows Psalm 23. It's often quoted, but for some reason, 24 is what stuck with me. I memorized that one as a young child. I was in a private school, and at our age level, they were only asking us to memorize verses maybe 1 through 4. Now, I memorized those, but I had an older sister. She was 6 years older than me, and so they asked them to memorize the whole chapter. Well, that was 8 or 10 verses. I believe it's 8 verses, and so in her recitation of the entire chapter, I, in turn, was blessed to memorize the entirety of that chapter. Impressed my teachers a little bit, maybe. I did more than was expected, but that was a sweet memory that I have about me and my sister. If we jump into verse 3 through 6, let me go ahead and read those. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. David made sure to look back into his past and see the works of the hands of God in his life to find comfort in those works. You can probably look back in your own life if you've been a Christian for very long, or maybe even not very long at all. Take encouragement in knowing that God is working in your life. But look back in your life at when you feel like David is describing here, when he talks about his spirit being downtrodden, he also goes here and describes seeing the works of the hand of God in his past life. And he receives encouragement from those times where he's seen God work in his life. And I know right now that Mike and Nancy are looking back at last night and seeing God's hand in that and being encouraged by it, and also being encouraged by our reaching out to them, not only today, but in the days and weeks to come. They'll find encouragement in that as well, but they know God had his hand in their lives last night. When we're persecuted or overwhelmed, when we find ourselves in darkness, God hears our cries. In verse 3, he talks about being persecuted, that his soul is persecuted. It's not just talking about here in the physical sense. He often felt and understood the spiritual warfare that went on around him. And David found strength in knowing the Lord was working with him even during those times, even when the enemy was attacking him on a spiritual and mental level, trying to scare him, trying to discourage him. God was there to encourage him. And so we have past experiences to go back in and to draw from. And I think that's a good practice that a lot of us probably don't practice often enough, and that is gleaning from past experiences with the Lord. How many times have we prayed for something and God answered yes? God was faithful to us even when we didn't realize we needed him to act. Sometimes he did act even without our supplications, even without our prayers. He's worked in our lives. And David knew that. I know that, and that's what I'm here to tell you today, is that prayer does work. Prayer is very important in our lives. And that though bad things may happen, losing a car is a great expense. But what could have been that they were protected from? God is good. God is gracious. Spiritual warfare is real, and we have an enemy that would try to discourage our pastor through this experience, and it is important that we stand against those principalities and powers. It is important that we lift the McFarland family up in prayer, that God would give them strength during this time. Because God is good, and God is gracious. I have complete confidence that Mike understands that Mike understands how good God is, and I'm sure that Nancy is there with him as well. And there may be moments where the two of them, one of them may be discouraged and the other one has to be strong and encourage that other one. So pray for the strength not only of Mike, but of Nancy and even the family members around about them during this holiday season. This is a really stressful thing for them to go through, and they're probably not the only ones. But I'm here because of what happened to them. And so for me, it is very relevant, their situation and how important they are to this church, to this ministry. And so I plead with you to pray for them in the days and weeks to come, as Mike would say. Many of us have known Mike as a prayer warrior, and he is. I trust in that. I trust that he was praying for me last night when he asked me to be up here and stand before you today. I was looking forward to being down there with you, and now I find myself up here instead. So what Mike said to me initially on the phone when I answered stands true. God has his own plan. I intended to be down there, but here I am. And Mike intended to be up here, but instead he's at home with his wife and most likely with some of his family members as well. But God is good and God is gracious. Now this is a season where we study and we talk about and we praise through Christmas music, through song, through holiday parties, through time with loved ones. We talk about the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, and what it means. It is the birth of our faith. Jesus being born was the beginning of fulfillment of promise. It was promised way back in the Old Testament that we would have a Savior. A Savior would come to us. Now, it was promised to the Jews, but it was for the sake of the whole world. It was not just for them. It was for the sake of all of us. And so now, with Jesus having been born, walking his life, having the ministry that he had, and then dying on the cross to save us from our sins. He took away our sins. He gave us a way for us as what the Bible would describe as Gentiles. He gave us a way that through our faith we can have salvation eternally. And so I would be remiss, after seeing what happened last night, allowing any one of you to go home today without telling you about the grace of God. And I think Mike would be remiss for having me here if I didn't also do that. So, what I want you to know is the love of God, that His Son was sent here to die for you, and to not hesitate, because Mike had his own plans to be here this week, and he's not. He's alive, but what if he were not? What if you didn't have another week to make a decision? Are we doing enough for the people that we love, that are around us, to share the gospel with them, the importance of it, and the necessity of a Savior? They need to know. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So you can't work for it, you can't earn it. It's not something that we can do for ourselves. Jesus did it for us. Jesus died for us. He paid our penalty so that all we have to do is believe. And that's backed up by John 3:16-17. I like to quote those together. I'll just stick with 3:16 today. "For God so loved the world," that's God the Father, "that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." So, between those two verses, we see that you cannot earn it, that it's not of you, and there's no bragging rights to me or to Mike or to you, to my father, my mother. Is it any pastor or worship leader you've ever heard or has ever stood before you? Nobody has a right to brag about what Jesus did for them. And John 3:16 says that all you have to do is believe. Ephesians 2:8-9 calls it a gift. Now let's break down a gift really quick. What is a gift? When somebody gives it to you, are they asking you to pay for it? Are they asking you to do something for it? Or is it given to you freely? Christmas is a great, great time of year to understand this thought process, because I'm not going to do a wallet illustration. I'm going to do something a little bit different today. If I take this box of Kleenexes, and it's nothing big, but if I were to take it and give it to her and say, "Merry Christmas," that's a gift. She just received something for free. Now, did she have to come up on stage to do that? Did she have to come up and take that from me? No. I met her at her level. I came down to her. And that's what Jesus did for us. God sent His Son as one of us. He came to us as one of us and died for us. He was a perfect sacrifice. And it was a free gift. We didn't have to do anything for it. We didn't have to go hang on a cross with Him. And it's very clear right here that all you have to do is believe. So to me, that's something that's really easy to understand. And if you have a difficult time trying to imagine how to share that gift with somebody else around you, these two verses, I want you to write them down. I want you to burn them into your mind. Ephesians 2:8-9 makes it very clear that it is a gift and that it is free and that there's nothing you can do for it. John 3:16 explains very clearly that all you have to do is believe. Is it any simpler than that? Can it be any simpler than that? I don't think it can. So it's really easy for you, if you're going to school, if you have classmates that you're worried about that may not know the Lord, to pull with these two verses, and you can mark them in your Bible. They're not very long. You could write them on your hand. You could keep them on a piece of paper that you printed out. You keep it in your wallet. or in your purse if you're a girl, or just in your pocket, slip it down in your pocket. We have tracks in the back door, and I know several of y'all have shared tracks. Mike is great at sharing tracks, sharing the gospel when he's out and about. But this is a great time of year for people to understand a gift. A lot of times it gets skewed and confused of what a gift is. A lot of churches try to tie something to a gift. And the gift is of faith, especially, they try to tie something to it and say that you have to do something to earn it. We're not asking anybody to come up to the front. This isn't where you do business. Where you do business with God is in your heart. It's not up here at the front. It's not because you're doing it here at church. You could do it at home. I did it at home. I wasn't at church. I've heard Freddie Coyle's testimony. His as well was by himself in his bedroom as a child or teenager. You don't even have to be at church. You could be at school. You could be out in public somewhere. I had the opportunity to share the gospel, with a very good friend of mine. I was with my family celebrating a holiday. So I text him the gospel. And I guarantee you, I used these two verses and maybe some others when he had some questions about it. You can use some of the Romans road, as people often call it. There's a number of verses in Romans that explain that we are sinners and that we are in need of a Savior. And I probably used some of those too when he had questions about that. But these two right here are very clear on the gospel. They're very clear that it's a gift. And I want to hammer that into you to make it simple when you're out there and you have an opportunity to share with somebody, because you don't know how long they have and you don't know what could happen between the last time you saw them and the next time you expect to see them. Mike is a very important person to me. I've known him for a very long time, and I've heard him preach up here a number of times. Not just since he took over pastorship of this church, but even as a teenager, I heard him teach or preach, and I think even at the age of 9, 10, 11, I think they were already in the church. And then when I was at summer camps, many of y'all have been to summer camp and heard Freddie Coyle, and Mike is responsible for our ties to Freddie Coyle, because they've been friends for a very long time. In our camping ministry, when I was a teenager, when I was 12, I started going to summer camps, and I was a year too young to be at camp, but they allowed me to go anyway. And that was my first experience with Freddie Coyle. But Mike McFarland was also there and probably teached or preached during that week at some point. So I have a long-standing history with Mike, and I love him very dearly. And Freddie Coyle as well. But the thing that both of them get and that they're very clear on is a gospel message. How easy and simple it is. And how important it is that we share it. So that's my two points today. I didn't have a third. Was that prayer works, prayer is important, and God does answer it. And that's what we get from Psalms 143, is that David was a prayer warrior. He was not afraid of bringing all of his doubts, all of his worries, all of his concerns before the Lord. He was very, very transparent in his heart through the Psalms. So we can glean a lot from that Psalm and many others. That's just the one that, to me, really stood out last night as I was trying to prepare something in the hour amount of time that I had. And then the other important thing was the mortality of humans. And that was evident through what happened last night. And so it's very important for me, for everyone in this room, to understand the gospel, to hear it, and to be able to share it and understand the importance of it. So I impart that to you, the importance of sharing the gospel. Find somebody this week to share that with. I would encourage you to do that. Also this week, I would encourage you, again, pray for the McFarland family and many others in our church. Continue to pray for the Coyle family. They still have an illness that Freddie is dealing with, and that is very serious. pray for our nation, pray for Lake Country Bible Church. If you're not a prayer warrior, if you haven't already prayed three times today, I'd say get on it. I've lost count how many times I've prayed today. When I wake up, I pray in the morning. When I go to breakfast, I pray over our meal with my wife. She's not here with us this morning. My stepdaughter, her daughter, is getting married in June. And so they have a bridal bazaar that they're going to, and it was time sensitive, so she couldn't make it here this morning. They had to be in Dallas before noon to be part of that. But because of what happened last night, also in my head, I'm replaying what could happen. Again, it's that question of mortality. And so I've prayed for them and their travels before they left. I've prayed for y'all and your travels here. I prayed after Terry Posey's Sunday school lesson. And then I prayed before I started this. And probably somewhere in between, when I was on the car ride up here, it's a 45-minute drive almost, depending on how fast I'm driving. Terry laughs a little bit louder than some because he's been with me when I'm in the car and I'm in a hurry. That's right. That's right. It's true. I get that from my mother. But it is important that we pray, and I would impart to y'all the importance of prayer, and I would encourage y'all the importance of praying for your pastor who's not here with us this morning. So join me in prayer if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for answered prayers. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come before you, to speak to you. You are God. You are our God. You are our Creator. And you are our Savior. We are not worthy, but yet you hear us. For that we thank you. And I do ask safe travels over each one here this morning. May they each understand the necessity and the importance of the gospel, and what the difference it could make in somebody's life that they care about. Encourage them, Lord. Speak to their hearts, to their minds, that they would understand it and have a desire to make it clear to the ones that they care about during this season especially. We ask that you be with Mike and Nancy as they recover from this incident. Be with them in the days and weeks to come as they try to replace a vehicle of whatever make or model. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this service and this time together in fellowship. Amen.